If I can share a few things from Matthew, you know, I'll be very not a real speak, but obviously it's the kingdom, it's the gospel of the kingdom. King, isn't it? You know, Matthew, the lion, you know, the king. Mark, the servant, the sometimes they sort of like one of those beasts of burden, face of a calf or whatever it is they say, and then Luke, the man, and then of course the eagle gospel, John, the gospel that flies. And you know, those four living creatures. So you've got the first gospel, the gospel of the king and the kingdom, and it's like came looking for the one who's born king. And anyway, quite interesting how, in fact, it's in Mark, the Gospel of the Servant, where you get the wise men, the kings coming, and they're not mentioned in Matthew. But anyway, that's by the by. But when Jesus begins his ministry in chapter 4, he moves in. You know, he's tested by the Lord, by the devil, and then he basically is the strong man. I don't know whether you've thought about just the way God is king, God is creator, God in heaven. And then the dragon, the old dragon, he tried to bring his kingdom into heaven and establish his kingdom in heaven. And then he was cast out, and a third of his angels with him, because it's the heavenly kingdom and it's God's kingdom. And so all the enemy had to be cast out. And then God creates the earth and sets man upon it as his king to bring the kingdom in, God's kingdom, to be made manifest upon earth through Adam. Bring my kingdom in, Adam. You're my prince, the image of God, and bring my kingdom in. And then, of course, what happens is the old dragon cast out to the earth. And he comes and puts on the guise of a serpent, a beast. But it doesn't look like a beast. He begins his deception. And he comes through the woman to the man to ruin the image, to defile the image of God that was in the man. And so he takes possession, the kingdom of the serpent comes into the earth through man, who was supposed to be the image of God. Now he's the image of the serpent. Now he's one of the generation of vipers. He's got the viper nature in him, the old man. And so the earth, you know, you get the picture. I'm just trying to paint something which is very, very important, I think. And then, of course, the Lord makes promise to the woman about a seed. And in due time, the seed comes. And there's an attempt made through Moses to have a theocracy on the earth, the kingdom of God upon the earth, in one nation, the Jew, which of course, and the Lord gives some of the laws of his kingdom through what we know as the law, the commandments, and so on. And the kingdom doesn't come. A little temporary light of it, little temporary light with David, with Solomon, a little temporary light of the kingdom and of God. I mean, if they'd lived according to the Lord's law, how different to all the nations round about, eh? But there you are. And of course, but it was all part of what God was doing until the king-elect came, the prince, Jesus, the image of God, the Word made flesh, and he came and is born, and so you get Matthew, and then you get him growing and 30 years old, and he embraces his calling that he's got to bring the kingdom in by death. He's got to bring the kingdom in by destroying him who has the power of death. He's going to bring the kingdom in, and so he goes to John Baptist, who's his forerunner, and accepts his calling publicly and in the heavenlies, and the wicked one sees it all, and who is the Lord of the earth. And you're getting the picture that I'm trying to paint. And so Jesus accepts the call that he's got to die. He's got to die. That the great weapon is that he will fully obey his father unto death. And then he is filled with the Spirit, anointed. And so he's then led by the Spirit out into the wilderness, tested by the wicked one. Well, if you are the Son of God, okay, so start using some of your powers, then get the job done. Come under my auspices, and you're hungry, you want fame, okay, cast yourself down. And this picture sort of gradually builds up before our eyes. And then you come to the Lord coming through that. He binds a strong man, basically, in the language of chapter 12 of Matthew. He binds the strong man. No one could come and take over a house unless first he binds the strong man of the house. That's how Jesus puts it in chapter 12. And then, of course, he begins his ministry in the dark places at the end of chapter 4. And he went abroad in Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Gospel of the kingdom. I've come to bring the kingdom in. The kingdom of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of healing, of health, of soul health, through my death, of bodily health, of peace, that passes understanding. And I've come to bring the kingdom in. And so he preaches that, and then he's up on the mountain top in chapter 5, sits down, waits to see who's going to come. And then when his disciples come, he begins to speak, and he begins to bring some of the great laws of his kingdom. Oh, to be poor in spirit. That's how he begins. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the, and he brings in those who are deeply dependent upon God. Blessed are they. That's the first law of the kingdom, utter dependence upon God. And so he talks this way, and then he comes onto what real prayer is, and that's when he prays this prayer, doesn't he? When thou prayest, chapter 6 of Matthew, when thou prayest, don't be like the hypocrites, standing, just mouthing off stuff. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet, shut thy door. David shut his door. He was shut up to God, out in the wilderness there, and he learned God. And you'll be rewarded openly. David was surely rewarded openly. And when you pray, verse 7, use chapter 6, verse 7. Don't use vain repetitions. Don't be like them. When you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. That's where it begins. That's what we really care about, isn't it? Yeah, we tend to pray in a lot of our prayer meetings about stuff that's really earthly. We're not really on the real marrow of prayer yet. On the, because the real marrow of prayer is of our Father. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's what he came to do. That's what he came to do, to bring his kingdom down. Amen. Kingdom down. The kingdom's come. The kingdom's at hand, people. You Jews, the kingdom's now at hand. Listen to me. You Jews, put yourself in Jesus' shoes, And he's with these people. He loves them. He loves them. They're diseased, they're twisted, they're perverted, they're messed up. They are led by, the kingdom of the wicked one, the old king of the wicked one. The serpent has got a generation of vipers that he has developed in the religious sense. He's got another viper, only he's not called a viper, who's a king, King Herod the Great. That fox, the beasts, it all links up with the beast, the form of the beast in those days. The beast is reigning in Israel, and Jesus has come. The true prince, the true king, he's come to bring his kingdom in, to bring health. It's one of the reasons why he's healing. That's why he's casting out demons. That's why, it's all part of his message. And in these things, well, you just realize thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's real prayer. That's when you're on the marrow of prayer. And then the lesser things, you don't neglect them. Give us our daily bread, the bread for the day. Okay, let's not look too far ahead, just to sufficiency. And so he prays, and then as he continues his ministry, he comes to chapter, what we call chapter 10, and he chooses the 12, and he says, verse 7, chapter 10, as you go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, verse 9, 6. Go to the lost sheep of, don't go to anyone else. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Not time for that yet. The kingdom's coming to you first. It's being offered to you first, where you can have Christ as king, and he will bring the kingdom in. And you shall have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost as a people. This is what you'll have. But it's only go to the lost sheep of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You go to them first. See what a big picture this is. Go to them first, that are in the thraldom of a bunch of a generation of vipers. It's all become mercenary, economically twisted. It's all religiously twisted. Everything's twisted. Go to them first, and as you go, verse 7, preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." The kingdom's here. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. Freely you've received, freely give. Go dependent, provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, don't get tied up with the things of this world. Depend upon God. Depend upon God. And so he sends them out. So he sends them out. The kingdom. Includes, it's healing for the soul, healing for the spirit, healing for the body. Go and bring deliverance, bring the kingdom. And they go and so on, and it hots up more and more because the opposition, the two kingdoms are clashing. Why do the heathen rage, Richard? Dear Cathy, mentioning that scripture, they began to rage more. So you get to chapter 12, which is an elongated chapter. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were anhungered, began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Well, if they had known what this meaneth, "I will have mercy and not sacrifice," ye would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. I'm wanting to bring the kingdom in. That's what I'm here for. When he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, so Jesus is bringing the kingdom into this, into the Sabbath. He's bringing the kingdom into the synagogue. He's bringing the kingdom in. And he finds there that something in the synagogue's twisted, withered, exactly. It's real, but it's parabolic. It's like you come into the, you know, I hesitate to even say this, you come in, I've been withered. I haven't understood the fullness of what it means to be a gospel man, a gospel preacher, a man of God, someone. What am I on earth for? I'm on earth to bring the kingdom. I'm one of his servants. You're on earth to bring his kingdom, aren't you? And to bring his kingdom. And Jesus comes to bring his kingdom into the synagogue. Something withered there. Is it lawful? And they want to accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep? Isn't it interesting how you keep getting this about David and sheep and so on? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? And how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Amen. They'd made the Sabbath a place of tension, hadn't they, with all their rules and laws, and talk about withering everything up, all the fullness of the liberty of having a hand that's you know, freely moving, that can grasp things. You know, I see this just vivid to me. Religion does that to people. It just withers them. You know, and it just withered them. And he saith to the man, verse 13, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored, whole, like as the other, healing in his hands. Is that tremendous? Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. He's still bringing it. The multitude will follow, who will go after him, he'll heal them, because he's come to bring the kingdom in. And he charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. He's going to bring the kingdom in through judgment. Those generation of vipers that he's going to talk about in a minute, he's if the offspring of the serpent, because vipers are serpents, and they're snakes and Satan. Anyway, you can think about it. And you know, he's kind of, it's all got to be judged out. If the kingdom's going to come, all this stuff, victory's not going to come without all this stuff getting judged right out of us, right out of our churches, right out of, you know, all this religion and all this nonsense. that's withering souls. And then was brought unto him one possessed with the devil, blind and dumb. Well, I tell you, this is so graphic to me, even as I read it again. And that's just like what had happened. That's what the devil does. He blinds us to God. You see, the kingdom of darkness, they were in the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness had come into Jerusalem, into Galilee, it had come into the nation. Some light had come, but behold, the kingdom, they'd gone into darkness, and like a demon had gotten hold of the whole nation. And it says that it was dumb and it was blind, a devil that caused both those things, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, "Is not this the son of David?" But can you see the link where they keep going back to David, the king, the one who brought the kingdom in the Old Testament in? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth," here's the Pharisees again, "doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, and I will put one word on this. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand?" So Jesus knew that Goliath couldn't stand because he's divided against himself. He's not ontological. And that one word I use, ontos, the word of the ontos, of being. Satan is not true being. He is a liar from the beginning. He is a murderer from the beginning. His kingdom is divided against itself. It may seem unified for a while, as it will do in the end of days, but the beast shall devour the woman. Now I'm in the Revelation. But you can see, Jesus says, if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, you see, God's kingdom is ontological. It is the nature of its being. It cannot fall. The kingdom of God cannot fall because it is ontological. The kingdom of God has nothing divisive in it. Nothing at all. No possibility of it. And Jesus says, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. There's the great mark, the kingdom's coming. Get the devil out. Get the devil out. Cast out devils by the Spirit of God, or else can anyone enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man? And then he will spoil his house. Amen, Lord Jesus. I understand that's what you did when you were there in the wilderness. You bound the strong man. You were entering into the strong man's territory, the owner of the earth, the one who had usurped Adam, who had defiled through Eve, through as she'd been deceived, and the image was now was marred. And glory to God, when you look at this, you see, Jesus came and he bound a strong man and he's entered into his house. My brethren, our Lord Jesus has entered in to this world. He has entered in, he has done the work, he's bound the strong man. He's not only bound him, but he was going to destroy him. He was going to destroy him. And he was going to do it just about 3 years later after saying these things. And he was going to destroy him, not just bind him, but destroy his mastery. Going to cast the wicked one out. And then Jesus says this word in verse 30, he that's not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth the board. There is no gray. It's either black or it's white. You're in one kingdom or the other. You are a member of the generation of vipers, or you are one of the children of the kingdom of God. He's going to emphasize that in chapter 13, the next one. He's going to talk about two seeds cohabiting in the field that belongs to the Lord. And he's going to call those seeds the sons of the kingdom or the sons of the wicked one. That's what he's going to call them. And that, well, that's a biggie. That's something. Jesus, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He scatters. That's the wicked one, the great scatterer. That's the kingdom. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Amen, amen. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes, here they come again, and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation. There he is again. You're of the harlot, the whore. Babylon. Babylon. You're of the whore. She's the adulterer, the mother of harlots. You're idolaters, all of you. That's why you seek for signs. No sign shall be given except the sign of the prophet Jonas. And as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. And So he goes on, and the queen of the south shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I return into my house. Here's a prophetic word concerning Israel. I'm here casting out the unclean spirit. I'm bringing the kingdom in. But if it come out, if the spirit says, I'll go back, and I find it empty, swept and garnished, and he goeth and he taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. Remember, Jesus is saying things at the end of the age. He's bringing the end of the old covenant. He's bringing the end of the people, and the temple's going to fall and Jerusalem's going to fall 37 years down the track. It's the end. Wicked spirits coming back. So shall it be unto this wicked generation. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand out aside, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother, my brethren, and whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and mother. Here's the real generation. Amen. And then Jesus tells the parables of the kingdom in the next chapter. Still on the theme of the kingdom, bringing the kingdom in. Amen. Well, that's what was on my mind, Richard. And there's a lot there. There's a lot there. There's a lot there. And do you know, my brethren, a little preface for tomorrow. When I do that, some of, well, we need to understand that we are drawing near to the end. And you know, the light of the kingdom of God, the church must bring in before the end. And the world will seek to obliterate God's people, to obliterate them. The heathen will rage in a way they've never raged before. And so their very rage will be partly the cause that brings them to Armageddon and the end of all things where Jesus comes again. And so, amen.